God's word this morning. It's about Thanksgiving today. Amen. Do we have things to be thankful for? I have been wanting, since I've come here as the pastor, to preach through the book of Colossians. And every time I've decided to start on it, just something has come up, and I just never have gotten around to actually digging into it. And so this year, starting with this weekend, I am going to preach through the book of Colossians. And I love to look at this book. It has so much to say about who God is, as we look at the Trinity, we understand Jesus is fully God. Amen. And he has so much in the work of creation, and it's something that gets overlooked in our culture today too often. I want us to know that when we give thanks, and we have Thanksgiving coming up this week, and we're celebrating it now, we're celebrating it tomorrow, we're going to celebrate it later on in the week, in Thanksgiving, let's remember who we are to be thankful to. Amen? Because I think that in our culture, we're kind of getting the, being thankful sort of maybe, but it's important that we be thankful. In fact, I think it's kind of almost like the mother of all the other virtues. If you can't be thankful, you know, how much are we really able to accept and work out those other good things in our lives? Think about your children. All of us that have children or have had children or were children once, that pretty well encompasses all of us. I want you to think about the day after Thanksgiving morning. Or the day, you know, so you go and or Thanksgiving Day, you know, and I'm sorry, like the next day after you've had all this great feast and all the great sweets, and it comes time to eat the turkey leftovers. It's funny how we're not as thankful for the leftovers as we were the original meal, right? And we can get kind of sour. And the morning part of it, I was thinking of Christmas morning. How about children after they've received all these gifts sometimes on Christmas morning? We forget about maybe even what Christmas is all about because we're so busy thinking about what I'm going to get and what I can have and all of this. And I can remember some of the worst behavior out of our children. And I'm sure I wasn't like this. This is only something I've recognized in my children. But, in the past, I'm sure some of their worst behavior was later on Christmas Day or the next day. And we would think, my goodness, what have we done? Have we created monsters? And I wonder if sometimes God doesn't look down from heaven and notice our lack of thankfulness toward Him and how it must grieve His Spirit. You know, God has done everything for us. Anything that you have. In fact, in James, it talks about every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. The Father of heavenly lights. With Him, there is no darkness. There's no shifting shadow. Okay? He's good all the time. We say that, but do we believe it? God is good all the time. Even those times whenever we might be feeling some pressure, sometimes when we're going through struggles, sometimes whenever it isn't the best day that we would consider in our life, God is still good all the time. He is working things out in us. He is working out things through us for others. And He is helping us to grow closer to Him. But the number one thing that we have to be able to realize the rich blessing of this, I think, is to be able to be thankful, right? And there's a lot of different places in the Bible that we can find the word thanks or thanks, you know, being thankful and things of that nature. A lot of times Paul is writing it. I want you to understand something. Paul had several letters that he wrote to different churches. And a lot of times it was because he had quite a bit of time on his hands. I'm thankful for these letters today because we wouldn't know how to run the New Testament church properly if it hadn't been for the letters that Paul wrote. But let me tell you something about Paul and the reason why he had a little time on his hands, because he spent a lot of time in prison. He spent several times that he was incarcerated into prison. And while he's sitting there writing like the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians, he literally is imprisoned for the faith, for doing what is right, and yet he's reminding us and the people he was writing to in that day to be thankful. And oftentimes he'll say, in all things be thankful, and with all prayers be thankful. Being thankful is so desperately important in our lives. Can I get an amen to that? Have you ever had that bad day and you're feeling pretty sour in your heart? Am I the only one that has that day every now and then? And you're just kind of thinking, man, even that person that passed me on the street, they looked at me funny and things are just not going the way that I want. And I pulled up to the gas pump and I thought I was going to get there and I was running late for work and somebody else just zipped right in front of me and got the only gas pump and now it's just this terrible, terrible bad day. Have you ever tried just finding five things you were thankful for at that moment? I've had those bad days before, and I have a great accountability partner. Her name's Shelly. And she doesn't have to do it to me as often as she used to, because even old dogs can learn new tricks. But whenever I was having those really bad days, and I was finding myself kind of complaining, she'd turn around, she'd look me in the eye, and she'd say, I want you to name off five things you're thankful for right now. It was a challenge. She laid it out there. And you know what? What I found is by number five, I was beginning to realize I had nothing to complain about in the first place. Really. God is good all the time. And so let's remember who it is to be thankful to. So we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1 today. And we'll be especially focusing in on verses 1 through 14. But before we do, you're going to notice on the back side of your sheet, if you got a bulletin, you got one of these in it, and it's kind of the notes that are going to go along with the sermon. And they're not really an outline form, they're just thoughts that are going to be on your slides. But if you look at the back side of that, I have a little bit of a couple different sources of history on actual Thanksgiving that we celebrate here in the United States. And so, that's something you can refer back to later. We're going to have a couple quotes from it, but I wanted you to have a little bit of information that you would be able to take home with you. So without reading through the whole thing, let me just ask you a real quick question. Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? And there you'll be able to find the actual historical references to it. But basically, it boils back to the first pilgrims and the ones who settled in Plymouth, and how they had a very, very hard winter with very slim provisions. And then after that, they had a year of growing. The Native Americans came along and they kind of built into their life. They taught them how to live in this land. And so at the end of that first really good harvest season, they decided to have a Thanksgiving celebration. And that's where it sort of originated. And so as we look at that, we can see that they came here so that they would have the freedom to worship God in the way that they would see fit. They didn't want a king telling them how to worship. They didn't want to have a lot of religious persecution anymore. What they really wanted to do was be able to worship God to the dictates of what the Scripture said and how they interpreted it. And so when they gave thanks, they most definitely were thanking the God of heaven, wouldn't you say? Who was it who had given them that blessing? Who was it who had given them that bountiful harvest? Who was it that had given them a promise of being able to make it through that next winter? And here's the deal, guys. They didn't have Walmarts when they landed here, right? They didn't have food shipped in from all over the world whenever they landed here in this new country. I mean, they landed on this soil, and that first winter was really rough. It was really hard for them to learn to survive in this new land. And if you didn't raise it, and you didn't shoot it, you didn't eat it, and you went hungry, and I'll tell you what, some people starved to death. It's rough. It can be rough if you don't have a shelter and things of that nature. And so it's a little bit hard for us to totally connect with them sometimes because of the way that our culture is now. We have it pretty easy. But I want you to know that whenever we meet together and celebrate Thanksgiving, the first one was celebrated in 1861 by the Pilgrims and the Native Americans. Yes, sir? 1681. Thank you. I got backwards on that. 1681. Yeah, thank you, brother. 1681, that was a typo by the Pilgrims and Native Americans at Plymouth after the first successful harvest. And then it was first made an actual national event by President George Washington on October the 3rd, 1789. And so I want you to know, this goes all the way back to even before the true founding of our nation, the true official United States of America, and then was re-recognized after we had assembled as a group, as states. And so this is something that we need to recognize what their true desire is. Because I'm telling you right now, Thanksgiving's being hijacked, and it's really being trying to be redefined. A lot of our history is being redefined. We're being told that people like George Washington was just a deist. He didn't even really know who, you know, what God he really believed in and all this type of stuff. But I can tell you, if you read the writings, you will find that most definitely was the God of the Bible and God of heaven, the true living God. And so as we think about Thanksgiving today, let's continue to remember who they were giving thanks to as well. And then we're going to be looking at the scriptures here. So to whom were they giving thanks to? They're giving thanks to the same one as Paul and Timothy that we're reading about here in Colossians chapter 1. So let's read. If you all want to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, I think it would be appropriate. Let's read verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Do I get an amen, church? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Oh man, what a mouthful, amen. Do you know, guys, we have brothers all over the world, and they may not have the same celebrated day of Thanksgiving, but they are giving thanks to the same God and Father of all of us. So think about them as you're thankful to God, that we have a community in Christ, a family all over this world, and it's all through the Holy Spirit that has been revealed to us. In verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Dear Father, I am so excited as I read these words. You have given us such an amazing inheritance in the Lord. You have given us such an amazing salvation. And Lord, not only to us, but to all who have believed. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to continue to spread this joy and this message and this thanksgiving to others so that they might be thankful to the true God of heaven. Lord, there are so many that don't know to be thankful to you. And it's only, Lord, because they don't know. So let us not judge them. Let us assume that, Lord, you have just not revealed yourself to them in a way that they can grasp and understand yet. So I pray for them, especially today, that you would reveal yourself to them. Lord, I was one. We have others in this congregation who can attest to the fact that one time we did not know who to be thankful to. But Lord, you have revealed to us and you can reveal to them. And I pray that you would show us how to live in light of these awesome blessings you have bestowed on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody can have a seat. So, we see where our original Thanksgiving came from is people who understood and believed this word that we are reading today. Do you realize this is the same letter that they read as well? This is the same desire that they had, was to be thankful to the same God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's really interesting. You know, a lot of people use God's name these days, and it's kind of in a lowercase g. His name gets used for a lot of different things in a lot of different ways, and a lot of them are really improper. And a lot of people will even say, God bless you, but they're not very specific about what God they're talking about. And a lot of other people might receive it and be thinking of an entirely different false God that really isn't the true God. But you see, Paul is very specific about who we're giving thanks to here. Who is it? It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who is the Trinity. He is the God who wrote this Bible that we hold. He is the God who is described through this Bible that we hold. And He is exactly the way that He describes Himself and shows Himself. And He is the living God. And He sits enthroned over this earth and everything on it. I can tell you, He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is definitely coming back someday, and until then, He is leading His people, and He is the one who brings us the blessing. Anybody who has experienced the blessing I'm talking about, say amen this morning. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. There was a time whenever I didn't realize it, and I thought I was doing everything myself, and I had so much stress and strain and pressure on me because I was carrying the load, or thought I was. And I began to realize after giving my life to Jesus, it's been Him that's been carrying me all along the way. Even when I didn't know it, my blessing was coming from Him. But now I know it, and I'm so thankful because I can tell Him thank you. And that's exactly what the pilgrims were feeling that day, guys. They were saying, wow, look at the bountiful harvest that we have. We are going to be able to eat this winter. We are going to be able to continue to survive in this new land. We have friendship with the original inhabitants of this land. How could it be any better than this? This came from God's own hand, and we are going to say thank you to the one who deserves it. You know why our country's struggling right now, guys? Because we're not giving thanks to God for the blessings. We're mistaking and thinking somehow they come from us, thinking somehow we did this by our own ingenuity, thinking that since it was all us or just some kind of random chance, that now we are the boss. Now we are the ultimate authority. And so we either thank each other, which there isn't anything wrong with thinking of the person beside you, but ultimately I want you to know that person wouldn't be beside you if it wasn't for the Heavenly Father. He is the reason why you are where you are and why you are able to move about freely and have what you have and be able to offer back to Him as a praise. And so I want you to know that whenever they gave thanks those days, they were giving thanks to none other than Father God, guys. They weren't giving thanks to good luck. They wasn't giving thanks to Mother Nature. Isn't it interesting, all these counterfeits that the devil throws out there? We got Father God who made everything, and everybody's talking about Mother Nature. Guys, I'm going to tell you, our God is our Father God. We need to keep that in mind. Yeah, they weren't giving thanks to any other demonic counterfeit gods out there, but rather, guys, I'll tell you who they were giving thanks to. The one true living God. He's the only one. Everything else is a demonic counterfeit. They were giving thanks to the Creator and Sustainer of everything. And as we go through this book, you're going to be astounded by the description of what all Jesus is doing, guys. He's not just Creator God, He's Sustainer God. He holds everything together. Do you know what causes an atomic explosion? It's whenever atoms begin to divide because they're not able to be held together anymore, and it causes such a chain reaction that you get this enormous amount of power out of it. It's unbelievable. Do you know who it says is holding all that together? Jesus Himself is what's holding it all together in our universe today. We're going to get to that in the future, but I want you to understand there's nothing outside of His doing that we have that's good. It's all from His hand. So when you give thanks to Him. Not all these other things, not all these other counterfeits, because do you know who's behind those counterfeits? The devil himself. And if he can get us distracted away from the Father, then he feels like he is stealing the praise for himself. And do you know, back whenever he was actually created as an angel, that's why he got thrown out of heaven, was because of his rebellion, wanting the worship to be for him. And he didn't go alone. In fact, it says that there was a third of the angels were thrown down to the earth. We don't have an exact number, but we know that whenever we see any kind of vision into heaven today, there's a whole lot of angels there. So if a third of them were thrown down and two-thirds are still left in heaven, then there's a whole bunch that were thrown down with the devil. Amen? And so what are they doing? They're meddling in the affairs of men and trying to confuse and deceive. They don't really have any power over God's children. Now, they do have some limited power. But I can say when we take our shelter in God, He is all-powerful, almighty. We have nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be worried about, as long as we're under the umbrella of God's protection. But they do take on the power of deception. And the number one thing that we can do for them to steal our affection or to steal our attention or to deceive any of us is to get away from the Scripture and start thinking like mere people again. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but whenever I read the Scripture, it's kind of counter flesh, counter natural reasoning. You know, everybody talks about common sense. I used to have common sense, and it got me into a whole lot of trouble. Now I have biblical sense, and it's teaching me how to really live in a way to please God. And so if you really want to live in a way that you show your thanksgiving, then live according to God's Word. And I can tell you, whenever it says to love my enemy even when he persecutes me, that's not the way I used to think. But I have found that if I actually do it, God shows up in miraculous ways. And I show my thankfulness to Him as I do that. So, how do we show our thankfulness? You see, it explains it and outlines it right here in what we just read. First of all, just by praising, right? By truly being thankful, that's a praise offering to God. By praying always, it says. By gaining knowledge of His will. Guys, how do we do that? We just read it right here in the Word of God. It is by being in His Word. You can't just somehow mystically know God's will. There's people sitting all over the place, not studying God's Word, saying, I want to know God's will. If I knew it, I'd do it. And you know what we need to do is hand them one of these. Say, if you really want to know God's will, you read this book, and then you do what you understand from it at the moment. And whenever you're done doing that, ask Him for continued knowledge of His will, and then do it. That's how we do God's will. That's how we show we're thankful. Also by gaining wisdom to help us use that knowledge. Because, you know, I can know a lot of facts. I can know a lot of facts. There's people who know a lot of facts about a lot of things, you know. It's deer season right now, and we found there's people who know all kinds of facts about deer rifle bullets. Man, they know that if it's this way, it'll go this fast, and it won't drop more than this over so many yards and all this stuff. All I know is whenever I pulled the trigger the other day, and I had the little X in the right spot, I got a four-point buck. I'm not sure how fast the bullet was going, okay? All I know is whenever it hit the deer on the mark, he died, and we had backstrap steaks the other night. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but man, they were yummy. They were really good, and we shared them with some other people too, and I say praise the Lord. It was awesome. And so I was reminiscing, you know, that must have been kind of how they felt back in the days of the pilgrims, you know. After they had, some of them like starved to death the year before, and they're getting all this bountiful harvest, and you can read a little bit more about that in your little history thing. But here's the deal, guys. Gaining the wisdom to know how to use the knowledge from God's Word is really important. So don't ever just read God's Word as some kind of history lesson or just so you can gain some facts. Pray first. Ask God. Say, God, I really want to be willing to do whatever You show me as I read this thing. So please, give me spiritual wisdom as I read. And God will do it. By walking worthy of the Lord. What does that mean, to walk worthy of the Lord? Here's the John Jones interpretation. Make him happy that he paid that price for you. Now, I will never be perfect enough to deserve it. I'm never going to be good enough to deserve salvation. There's no possible way. But whenever God looks at me, since he's helped me to see it, since I've really become saved, I want him to say, man, I sure am glad that John is my son now. I'm pleased. You know, I have children, and I'm going to tell them, I want to tell you today, and as I tell them, I'm going to love them no matter what they do. I will love them no matter what they do. You can't do anything, Daniel, to take away the love that I have for you. Isaiah, Josiah, I love you, and I will always love you. Where's Rachel? Do I see a Rachel over here? Okay, she's down below the pew. Okay, Rachel, I want you to know I will never cease to love you. Esther? I love you, Esther. Now, does that mean that they do everything perfect? But whenever I see them loving one another, whenever I see them loving God, whenever I see them actually doing what the Bible says, not only do I love them at that moment, but I am so pleased at what I see. And I want you to know that even when they don't, I still love them, but I'm looking forward to when they're going to get back on the right path again. And I think God made me, and he's a perfect father, and so I think I'm resembling God in that parental love, and I know he can be pleased with you out there and what you're doing as you follow him as well. Walk worthy of the Lord. Be fruitful in good works. What does that mean? Well, if you stay connected to the vine like Jesus said, and you're the branch, then you should be bearing some fruit. And it also means there are good works for us to do. Some people would claim, you know, that since we can't do anything to save ourselves, we can't earn our salvation, then that means good works have nothing to do with it. Guys, the good works aren't to get saved. The good works are what God's already prepared beforehand for us to do and walk in them. It says in Ephesians. So as you're fruitful in those good works, God is pleased. You're showing your thanksgiving. Increasing in the knowledge of God. As you desire to increase in that knowledge, you're showing that you're thankful for the knowledge that he's already given you. Mighty, according to his power. I can tell you guys, my power is about that big. You know, I used to take and boast as a young man that I had all this power. You know, it says that the glory of a young man is his strength in the book of Proverbs, you know. But here's the thing, guys, I've realized my power is about that big. Maybe even smaller. It might be just minuscule, but God's power is infinite. So you know what? Rather than boasting on my own strength, I don't even compete in that silly stuff like arm wrestling anymore. Because there's always somebody stronger than me, and all I do is hurt myself now. But you see, what I boast in now is the power of God. And that's what Paul began to realize as he got older. The thorn in the flesh, you know, it was okay. Because you see, God's strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. So he said, therefore, I'll boast all the more in my weakness because that glorifies God. You see, God, let us be strengthened by his power, mighty. What are we to be mighty for? Tear down these strongholds, folks. Strongholds in people's lives. And we are mighty to stand, to pray, to praise, to gain knowledge in his will and help get God's power to pull down those strongholds that are in the world. Being patient. Do I get an amen to that? Okay, I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. And I'm sorry if I step on your toes on this one. Okay, so will you agree to forgive me and just in case I do? All right. You're going to forgive me because this is a day of grace and thanksgiving, right? Here's something that I really get tired of hearing. Get tired of Christians, and I don't doubt that they're Christians, but Christians will say, oh, don't ever pray for patience. Guys, even if you've ever said that before, please stop. You need to pray for patience. We need more patience because patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit who's supposed to be living in you. Yes, I know patience is not the easiest thing to attain, but let me tell you, if we stop struggling against God, it might just get easier. You know the best way to learn patience? Is to just be patient. You know how you're going to get tested? There's going to be something to test your patience. I'm getting better at it, right? I got 8 kids, 6 at home. I'm getting better. But here's the deal. Be patient, and last but not least, do it with joy, right? Do it with joy. Being joyful. Let's be joyful. Let's smile. Guys, let's smile to show our thankfulness. What if we gave the most precious gift to our son or daughter, and they walked away and they said, yeah, thanks a lot, Dad. Man, oh man, that was a great gift. Woe is me. I would have a hard time feeling like they were really thankful at that moment. But when they go, yay, this is awesome, this is exactly what I was wanting, this is so cool, thank you, Dad. I go, yeah, I did good, awesome, they're happy. Guys, God wants you to be joyful in Him. Is He worth our joy? Do we want to show Him we're thankful? Then let's be joyful today. It's going to be easy because we have got an awesome meal waiting for us downstairs. But you see, let's try to get the thankfulness part heading in the right direction first. And then we'll really be able to enjoy that meal downstairs. We'll really be able to enjoy one another's fellowship. We'll really be able to enjoy it because we're giving thanks to God. So, do y'all give thanks before you eat? I hope so. Whenever I was young, I saw people do that and I always thought, why don't they give thanks after they eat? Because we want God to be the focus, right? So let's let God be the focus today and every day and forevermore. And let us be thankful, especially because He has provided the way of salvation for us. Question is, have you accepted His free pardon of your sins? Sometimes it's there, but we're not willing to accept. I want you to know there's nothing you've done that is so bad that God won't forgive you if you'll just accept His Son, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. So, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that, give you an opportunity just to have your heart in the right place, and then after that, Brother J.D., if he wants to come on up, we're going to have the closing song now, and then we'll recognize a few other things, and then we're going to go downstairs to enjoy our Thanksgiving meal today. But let me pray for you first. Dear Father, I pray for the congregation that's assembled here today, and I pray that if there's anything needs to be brought before the throne of God, that we would do it during this portion, Lord, of invitation. It's not an invitation to try to persuade anybody into doing anything, Lord. It's an opportunity for you to reveal our need and for us to submit and surrender to you. Lord, whatever it is that you may be laying on our heart, let us give it back to you, and let us give you all the praise and glory and all the thankfulness because you are the giver of all good things. Lord, sometimes we've got to go through some struggles to get them, but let the struggles not be us struggling against you because we can't win that struggle. Let the struggles be whenever other things come into our life to help discipline us and help us to learn. And Lord, let us go with you to shorten that struggle so that we are in agreement with you. What does it mean to confess? It means to agree with God, what you already know. So if we have sins, we need to confess. Lord, you already know them. Show them to us so that we can agree with you and move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.